Let us pray. For the gift of this day, dear Lord, let us rejoice and be glad in it. For the sunshine on our faces and the warmth and not having to bundle all up, we give you thanks for this today, dear Lord. For all the blessings that you bring to us in everyday things, like food and clothing and shelter, a bed to lay our heads on at night, for friends and for family, dear Lord, and for a place that we can gather on Sunday mornings and worship you, for mobility, just the fact that we can get up and go where we wanted today, dear Lord. What a gift. Calm our hearts and our minds that we may hear your word. And now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. For some reason, whenever I say our rock and our redeemer, I always get a lump in my throat. For those of us who have been around long enough to remember Pastor Paul Youngdahl, I always think of him because he always said those words. God never, ever has come to us in fancy things like gold and like silver and precious jewels, ever. God only and always has come to us in everyday, common, touchable, seeable, smellable things, like the wood of the cross, like the water of the baptismal font, like bread and wine in Holy Communion. God always, always comes to us in everyday things. We already have all that we need, for Jesus is the bread of life. A couple years ago, a group of Mount Olivet folks took a trek to Germany to celebrate the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther nailing the 95 Theses to an old wooden door of a church. And for those of you who may be unfamiliar with that, Luther was angry that day, really angry. And so he wrote down 95 things that he was upset about that the Roman church was teaching the people. And he was so angry, he pounded it on this door, knowing that everyone in town would read his objections and start to discuss it. But never in his wildest dreams did he have any idea that that day would be the beginning of the Lutheran church. You see, Martin Luther was so mad because the people of that day did not have a Bible. They couldn't read the Word of God themselves. And even if they did have a Bible, they didn't know the language in which it was written. So they only had what the church told them to believe in about God because they couldn't read the Bible and find out for themselves. So the church had been telling them, if you want to be a Christian, if you want to be in good with God, these are the things you have to do. And one of them that was that you had to earn your way into heaven. You had to work your way into heaven. You had to earn your way into heaven, which is completely polar opposite of what we as Lutherans believe, that it is all about God's grace and God's gift. And the other thing that the Roman church was teaching the people was that you had to give money to the church in order to buy your way out of the fires of purgatory. They went around preaching that your relatives that had gone before you that had died, that they were burning in the fires of purgatory. And the only way you could get them into heaven was to give them your money. So poor people all over were giving money they needed for food to the church in order to save themselves or their loved ones from the fires of hell. And so Martin Luther was angry, understandably. So on the 500th anniversary of him nailing those 95 theses to the wall of the church, people from all over the world flocked to Germany to travel where Martin Luther traveled, to go where he went, to stand in the pulpit that he preached in, to sit in the church that he learned in, to learn about this man who gave God's love and grace to the common man. It was a wonderful, wonderful journey made with a great group of people. We learned a lot, we laughed a lot, we drank German beer, we enjoyed the German countryside, and we also ate lots and lots of hot ham and sauerkraut. Now, I don't know if it's because I'm Swedish, and so I grew up with mostly cream and butter as flavorings, but I certainly did not like sauerkraut, and still to this day, I don't like hot ham and sauerkraut for some reason. Well, we had had a lot of it. Too much, in my opinion. And on the very last day, we were scheduled to have this big Auf Wiedersehen final dinner. We skipped lunch. We saved up our appetites. We sat down at this awesome German hotel. I was so, so excited to celebrate our last evening together. And all of a sudden, our server walks up in the traditional German Dirne. And if you imagine Maria singing, "Climb every mountain," you know the outfit. It's a dress with an apron. It has ruffles around the collar and lace here. And our German server walked up, and she said, with a big mound of hot ham and sauerkraut, "Pig knuckle, pig knuckle." I thought I was going to start to cry. I looked at it and I thought, more hot ham and sauerkraut? And I looked at my husband, and Tom looks at the server and says, could you bring more bread and butter? And maybe you better bring her own basket of bread before she gets hangry. Bread is one of the great pleasures and staples in life. All over the world, it's something that we all have in common, bread. It takes many shapes and forms depending on where you grew up, where you are living. It might be naan in India, or tortilla in Mexico, or challah in Israel, or bannock in Scotland, or baguette in France, turnbrot in Sweden, or bauernbrot in Germany. But bread is something we all have in common. It is essential to life, it is affordable, it is simple. We gather in community to share bread. In many parts of the world, they gather in community to bake bread. And we gather here on Sunday mornings to break bread. In our gospel lesson that Pastor Freeman just read, we heard the familiar story of Jesus feeding 5,000 people with five such loaves of bread. It's a story many of us have heard since we were sitting cross-legged, enchanted by our Sunday school teachers, learning about God's love for us and the miracles that Jesus did to get our attention, like turning bread into enough for 5,000 people. So here on this day that Becca was just reading, the Passover, the big Jewish festival, is coming up. There are people who are gathered all over, 5,000 of them, we're told, to hear this man, Jesus. They've heard about the miracles that he has performed, healing the sick, and so they started out to follow him. Some out of doubt and skepticism, some out of fear that he was going to take away their power and control. Some gathered out of curiosity, and some out of a deep craving for hope and for healing and for good news. Who can we trust? Who can we trust to lead us? Is he the one? Who can help us? Who can heal us? Is this man telling the truth? Is this man really God's son? And so they gathered. Jesus turned to his disciple Philip and he said to him, "Where are we to buy bread for all these people?" Knowing the answer, of course, but wanting Philip to express his fear and his doubt. And Philip says, "Well, that's impossible. There is nowhere we could get enough bread for 5,000 people, and even if we could, it would cost 6 months' wages. It's impossible. There's a boy with a couple of fish and five loaves of bread, but obviously that is not enough." So Jesus waited to doubt, to express his fear and his sense of insecurity and scarcity. And when he had expressed his heart, Jesus looked at him and said, "Have the people sit down, take the five loaves of bread and the two fish, and feed them." So Philip did what he was told. And he took that bread and that fish, and he began to share it with the people. Take and eat. And it was enough. Everyone ate their fill, and at the end, Jesus said, gather up what is left over. And even in the end, there were 12 baskets filled with bread. So word about Jesus spread on that day like it had been. He's healing paralyzed people, blind people, folks with leprosy. He's hanging out with outcasts. He's calming storms. He's walking on water. He's turning water into wine, filling nets with fish, raising the dead. And today, he fed all of us with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Now, why was Jesus doing this? To put on his silver Incredibles cape? To join the Avengers? To power suit up? To be the king? No. Jesus was doing these miracles to say, it is not me, it's God. This is the work of God, that you believe in me, whom he has sent to share God's love. The manna, the healings, the miracles, the locusts, the parting of the sea, all of that was just to get your attention so that you might believe me when I say, don't worry, don't worry. God's got this. God's got us. Jesus is saying, I know that life gets really, really hard sometimes. I know you have people who you want to cure with all your heart and your soul and your mind. I know that you think that you don't have enough. I know that you can be lonely even in a room filled with people. I know that you are scared and don't know where to turn. So God sent me to assure you that God loves you that much. Please don't worry. It's going to be all right. I promise. I love this story. It is so simple and yet so profound. Jesus takes a common staple of life, bread, and uses it to describe God's great love and passion and compassion for us all. Jesus never came to us in precious stones or silver or gold or coin, but always in the everyday things. Our gospel challenge for the week is this. The next time you're feeling all alone, scared, silly, stressed out, and that life has handed you a big old plate of pig knuckle, walk into a grocery store or a bakery or a coffee shop, throw some rolls in the oven, smell that heavenly smell, and remember, God uses the simplistic method of bread to remind you of that great story of 5,000 people sitting on a hill, thinking they don't have enough, thinking that they are worried, and then God came to them and said, don't worry, you have enough, you have my son, the bread of life. All you need do is look to him. Amen.